Hello and good afternoon, Xbox Nation. Welcome to this week's new episode of X Vlog Live. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL. And as you can see, well, I'm rolling solo for now. C-Money or C-Mustard will be here momentarily. He's probably running a bit behind. Folks, we have a great next 75, 80 minutes worth of gaming talk for you on your Thursday. Shout out to the 900 people that tuned in to last night's prime time. Like, holy shit, man. 900 people of anything is a lot of human beings. And I want to say a big thank you because obviously we've been struggling with the subs. Like, we've been going backwards, not forwards. I don't know what happened, but
it's Google, bro.
Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah, there's something going on. I don't blame anybody. If you put the work in, people are going to sub. I don't know what happened. FYI, I pay $100 a month to Google. I have the family plan, which is for watching YouTube, but there's also a YouTube premium that YouTubers can pay for to kind of get your stuff bumped in the algorithm. There is also, yes, there is. I'll show you. There's also something you should look into called VidIQ. It's $50 a month. And what it does is it has classes. It has a whole bunch of information. It gives you the ability to hit a button and they'll provide a bunch of links for you to better your YouTube business. Oh, wow. Yeah, I'll send that information to you. Well, that's $100. Okay. And with that, they also were supposed to put you into a better algorithm. When I first did it, I saw I was getting two, 300 subs per month. That's a lot for this little channel, folks. Yeah. I don't mean to be begging or anything here, but we're the last 28 days we got 59 subs. That's crazy when someone does 20 plus shows a month. So yeah. I don't know what's going on. It's got to be something internal with Google. But again,
yeah, we see it too, though. So yeah, something's happening.
Yes. Yeah, and we're not the only ones talking about this. This happens every now and again, and eventually it will right itself. But obviously, before we get going, if you're finding the channel for the first time, please consider subscribing. And of course, I will reiterate this when I do the Valari Gaming Pillow commercial halfway through the show, as I like to do at least twice a week. But hey, C-Money, what's going on, my brother? How you
what's
feeling?
What's going on, man? I'm feeling great, man. Sorry I'm freaking late, man.
That's all right.
We have my guys are in houses in the morning, and sometimes if they take too long in a house, it can kind of tumble down till this later time. So I'm on the phone with customers. I'm doing a bunch.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I apologize, man. But yeah, I'm pumped. Great week. You know, I find it. You know, the information that's been going on, kind of crazy.
It's a little ridiculous. We're going to get into some of the ridiculousness. So obviously, you saw the thumbnail, folks. I'm going to be honest with you. It's very scandalous. It is a clown wearing a PlayStation hat. I don't normally do those, but I'm so appalled by the story that we're going to open with that. I love to walk the line. Right. Like, I don't like console war. I don't like using pony and bot. Right. Like, I call myself a bot. That's fine. But I wouldn't call someone else a bot. I don't like calling people ponies. It's just my way. Right. OK, fine. If you do, you're not a bad person. It's just that's your way. I try to do the community affairs way of doing things. And that's be nice to everybody. Even if we have a different opinion, we could still hang. Even if you are a console warrior, I'm not going to get in my feelings about it. But there are certain times where you see a prominent media person say something so obtuse and so sideways that even someone like me, you're like, am I actually, I got to hold on a second. Let me rewind this thing and watch this. I watch it. And I'm like, no, there's got to be something wrong with me. Let me watch it again. Rewind. And I'm like, no, but there's nothing wrong with me. This is crazy. This is just crazy talk. But before we get there, C-Money, the breaking news, if you will, that we have in front of me, well, we have in front of us. I didn't send it to you because obviously I literally popped into my feed. And it's come the way of King David. King David has been telling people for a while that Sony and its PlayStation players are just not enough, right? We heard that from Jim Ryan. But of course, King Dave is like, kind of, you know, kind of drive it home, if you will. So Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, 90 meta game. I think it's sitting at 93. Everyone that I've talked to that has played it is quite enjoying it. You know, I've heard some things about texture pop-ins. Like if you listen to like the Black Viking talk about it, he was saying that there was like texture pop-ins, like not in the distance. I mean, like straight up on top of you, things would pop in. That's not
good, but look, it's bad.
It's I
PlayStation 5 only game.
What's that?
Bad. I said PlayStation 5 only exclusive. Well,
you see,
this is bad.
Here's why that's bad. See, money, because the producer of the game went out on this big, you know, this big book tour, if you will, about why and how, and PlayStation 5 being only the one platform to develop for. That's why we're getting the maximum stuff. I mean, it launched broken when it came to its 60 frames and its high quality mode, right? That's broken. Yep. We were told, and I say we because I bought it. I'm not playing it. I don't even know why I bought it. I probably should have bought it and waited for sale, but I bought it like a knucklehead. I have to finish 7 first before I get to Rebirth. I'm not going to play out of order. I just won't do that. And we were told by the producer from Square that the reason why it's only on one platform is because we wanted to maximize our development skills for the one platform. Well, the reason why I'm bringing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth up isn't because I'm trying to slander it, folks. We talked about it last week. It is what it is. It's a 93 meta. It launched a bit broken. There's pop-in. There's all kinds of texture stuff going on, but it's still getting 10s out of 10s. This is the PlayStation Earth Defense Force that we're always touting, right? Well, it just came across my desk where Final Fantasy VII Rebirth in Japan has sold, in its second week, 24,482 copies. That is a total of a 91% drop-off from the prior week. Now,
that's wild.
Now, what's wild. Interesting is there are two things here. The PlayStation Earth Defense Force, as they're known, EDF or PEDF, right? I was told in numerous threads, which this is when the block hand gets deep, that it's niche and Japan isn't its market, so you really can't count that. Folks, I don't know what Earth you came from. The Earth that I'm in, 616, the Marvel Cinematic Universe 616 Earth, where me and Mrs. Boomer from. The minute you say that, you get put on the pain of mind list because you're not a gamer. Final Fantasy is not niche. It is a raging AAA monster IP. And if you think otherwise, I don't know what to tell you. Now, maybe it doesn't have the same prowess as it once did, but to suggest that this game, the franchise is somehow a mainline franchise. Final Fantasy VII is a mainline franchise. To suggest that it doesn't hit on the Richter scale, you are just straight up lying.
They are lying because you know why? PlayStation told them. Because
PlayStation did tell them lies.
If Final Fantasy wasn't something considered something of value as a brand, then why the flying vegetable nutsacks did Sony and PlayStation pay to keep it off of Xbox? If they didn't believe in their hearts that Final Fantasy was valuable and it meant something and it was AAA, why?
Yeah.
It's because that's what they believe. And it's these ponies who are coming around here, and I know you don't like it, but listen, this is the way I see it. If it don't apply, let it fly, right? If I say pony and you're offended, that means you're probably a pony.
Okay? Yeah, that, and if also pony, if it's not making dollars, it doesn't make sense.
Exactly. So, like, you just got to kind of accept it, bro. This is the reality of what it is. So if you're out here trying to say that game is niche, so that's why. No, bro. If that game was selling 10 million already, you would not have come out here and be like, oh, and it's a niche game. No.
Yes.
You would have been like, exactly. Oh, look at what we sold. I've been saying it since literally before that shit dropped. It wasn't going to do anything. You know why? Because they don't buy these games. They play Twitter, not the games. Yep. And I'm not saying that as somebody who's claiming that I play every game in the world. I'm not saying that. But as a content creator, somebody who sits here and looks at the numbers and wants to go ahead and talk about them, and to have ponies show up in your Xbox podcast talking crap in the chat, and it's like, fam, like, get the fuck out of here. But look at what happened. Like, look at what happened. They didn't show up for the only, bro, they have a handful of games that they're touting as big deals, right? That are not first party, all third party.
This is supposed to be the big one, right? This is supposed to be the big one. Yeah.
And they didn't show up, just like they didn't show up for their actual first party lineup. So if they didn't show up for first party, how are they going to show up for third? And well, this is what I knew was going
to
happen.
Here's an interesting theory, C-Money. And I don't have the answer to this. The reason why we don't have the answer to this next question is because the media isn't telling us, because Sony ain't telling the media. What are the numbers for this game sold in the United States, where, according to several people, prominent people in the gaming industry, is their main, you know, region for Final Fantasy? Where are the numbers? Has anyone, the numbers are in the gutter, boom.
That's where they are. That's why nobody could find them, because they're in the gutter.
Well, they're obviously not good, because if there's one thing, C-Money, that we know Sony is they are a touter. If they have something to scream from the high heavens, you best believe they're going to get out on Front Street and let you know about yourself, about why your console is not as good as theirs.
Just look and at Final why, Fantasy. All the other ones. They came out for each of the other ones. For Remake, in a few days, they came out and said, oh, look at what we did, right? Final Fantasy, even though they were low, in they thought that it was just going to grow from there, and it barely moved from there, right? Final Fantasy 16, same thing. In a few days, they came out, oh, look at what it sold.
Yeah.
And again, where is the big pompous circumstance for this one? Where is the headline saying, this is what we sold? It's been, what, 2.5 weeks? Now, or is it Thursday? 3 weeks now?
Yeah, 2 weeks. Yeah.
Is it 2 weeks or three? Well, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. It's still nothing, right? Nothing, no official word from them, which means that they're not happy with the numbers, because if they were, they would be touting it. They weren't happy with the other numbers and they were touting it. So that means this is even worse than that scenario.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the tweets. I'm waiting for the tweet. Final Fantasy VII did not hit expectations. You know, that's always the tweet.
Well, fun fact, what's hilarious is we actually do know that they do buy games. It's just Xbox games that they buy.
It's just right? Sea of Thieves.
You know what I'm saying? Right? Sea of Thieves, right? So secretly, all of these PlayStation dudes are just confused Xbox people. All right. They don't know where they went, right? They're just like, oh, here's a box. I'm gonna buy it. Wait, where's all the good games? Oh, they're always on Xbox. God, I guess I'm stuck here. Now Phil threw them a bone. Hey, go be a pirate in an 8-year-old game or a 6-year-old game. Go be a pirate now. And they're like, yeah, sign me up, baby. Sign me up. Finally, something exciting to play. A game that in our chats, I know mine for sure, that nobody's showing up to play that game. Not that it's a bad game in any way, but nobody's playing it in the hardcore Xbox community, right? That's more of the casual boat, right? For most people who are into that. It's killing it. How are they gonna have Sea of Thieves? Like, how embarrassed do you have to be as a community when Sea of Thieves is smoking the next third party exclusive banger that you guys are claiming to be, the one that all the Xbox dudes are so pumped to go play on their PlayStation, and that's Rise of the Ronin.
I canceled my pre-order C-Money. That game does not look good. Yeah,
it looks trash, bro.
I saw some video of it. Now, I don't know whether I was supposed to see the video or not, but I saw something and I'm like, yeah, that's not what I saw originally. And then I saw the video that they put on Twitter where he's doing like the swinging around the thing. And I'm like, you know what? I had pre-ordered the deluxe edition, and that joint would have been like $80. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'll wait for a December sale.
I was just about to say, get it for the Black Friday sale.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Giving that shit away. You'll see them on the corners like, yo, you're 25. I'll take 25. You're going to see it.
Yeah,
so you might as well just wait for Black Friday. The game, their entire slate is due to, listen, again, you can feel what you want to feel about what I'm saying, but understand I'm saying this, unlike most of the people out there, I'm heavily invested in PlayStation. Yeah. I have multiple PlayStation 5s. I have the stupid, I bought multiple Spider-Man 1s. Like, I've invested. That's why I'm so annoyed that what my investment is coming up to is worthlessness. Nothing that was released, I promise you right now, I dead ass when I say this, nothing, not one game that was released on the PlayStation 5 was worth owning the PlayStation 5. If I did not have the PlayStation 5, not playing God of War Ragnarok was not the biggest miss in the world. 2018 was better. Spider-Man 2, same thing. 2018 was better. Everything, the only exciting things they had coming, they canceled. I don't know. I regret having a PlayStation 5, bro.
Well, and I mean, look, it is what it is. Everyone's mileage is going to vary. You know, for me, PlayStation 5, I have it. I'm not sorry. I bought it. I don't buy a lot of games for it. I buy exclusives for it. I obviously bought Final Fantasy 7. I bought Helldivers 2. I'm not sorry about those purchases at all. I'm just not. I Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, I probably should have waited because I knew that I have to finish 7, and I'm just invested in playing a ton of other stuff. So I'm like, yeah, that was a bit of a waste, but it's fine. At least I played Helldivers. Stellar Yams, I got to see more about that. I don't know if I'm going to hold off on that as well. That's another one. I'm like, it looks good. We'll see. We'll see if that gets the dollars. Because I did pre-order both of them. I did cancel one. I haven't canceled Stellar Yams yet. We'll see. But look,
like, is that, when you look at that, do you feel like, wow, this is a, like, think back to PlayStation 4, right? Think back to the exclusive you played there, and then come back to right now and look at your PlayStation 5 and tell me that when you were playing those PlayStation 4 games and you were envisioning what a PlayStation 5 game could be, that you're telling me that you saw something that was worth the increase. Because there's literally, for me, all those games that came out on PlayStation 5 could have been on PlayStation 4. That's just the fact of what it is. They just went ahead and didn't release it on the PlayStation 4. But Spider-Man 2, no problem on the PlayStation 4. Any of those games, all of them could have been on PlayStation 4. Drop the resolution a little bit, your money, right? They didn't show us anything worthy of saying, yo, this is a PlayStation 5. Why do you think only 50 something million people came over from PlayStation 4, right? We're 4 years into the generation, all right? If they were going to kill it, they would have killed it even more. They're not. It's not impressive, especially when you look at how many of those people are not buying the games that they put out anyway.
You know what's interesting? Astal on Twitter, who he's an Xbox fan, put Astro out a stat. Something like that. Put out a stat that was pretty like head-scratching. So he had two pictures, one of which was Final Fantasy Remake, which is a phenomenally made game. It is just phenomenal. And it had Resident Evil 4, the remake, next to it. And what's interesting, folks, is both games had sold 7 million copies. The only difference is that Resident Evil 4 Remake did it on multiple platforms between Xbox, PC, and PlayStation 5, and it sold 7 million in a year. Up until now, Final Fantasy VII Remake has only sold 7 million. And that came out how long ago? So again, it just goes to show you that ultimately Square got the bad deal. I don't know how much money that they were paid by Sony to keep these games away from everyone and stagnate the release of on PC. I think they got the short end of the stick, honestly. And we don't know, because Square is not telling us. They're never going to tell us. I'm sure that they're NDA'd out the ass from Sony to say exactly how much they you know, Sony paid them. But I don't think it was worth it when you consider how much sales would have just been left on the table. It's disappointing. I mean, it's fine, you know. What are you going to do, folks? Again, not breaking news that's going to, you know, stop the earth from turning, but a conversation worth having for sure, especially when Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is supposed to be Sony's big AAA bomb this year. And obviously, we have no numbers for America. We know that thanks to Christopher Dring, who's a giant tool, that it was a 30% drop off in the UK from Final Fantasy VII. And again, I know folks. There's some folks in here that are saying, "Oh no, boom!" But wait a second, sequels don't sell better. I'm not arguing on that fact at all. They usually don't. There's usually a drop.
Rebirth is not a sequel. Rebirth is kind of the other part of the same game.
Yeah, it's kind of a part. It is kind of a part two. But yeah, well, you know, look,
Final Fantasy VII came in a one box, right?
Yeah, this one box, four discs. I think the original remade. Or five discs, if I don't remember. I imported it from Japan and beat it there, and then played it on the American one way back in the days. I actually used FAQs to beat the game because I don't read Japanese, obviously. Yeah, it was amazing.
Just real quick, the other reason, real fast, why this is important, and it's just, I know these people, they don't want to see it, right? But if you see what is going on at PlayStation, they have no first party support, right? That's first party's in shambles. We don't know what they're working on. Whatever they're working on, more than likely, is being reworked because they changed direction on the games as a service versus single player. But the only thing they were relying on is third party. This is why it's important. If third party can't do well on your box as an exclusive, you no longer get those games. And we know, unfortunately for PlayStation, that the bag is not there to keep putting out without bringing in, right? So as much as they spent how much money on Final Fantasy to keep that exclusive, what have they gotten back from it that's going to justify doing more, right? And especially, we already know Square's out, right? Like, they're done. They're fulfilling their contracts, and they're already done. They moved on. It didn't work for them. They're following Sega. Sega left their asses too. They used to give them Persona exclusively. That train has sailed. Like, that's the world that PlayStation is in right now. And again, if you're thinking about the future, like, for a person who's buying, having a choice of what console to play on, I mean, let's just call a spade, man. Xbox has the games. They have them coming. They have them released already. And they have Game Pass that gives you all those third-party games that if you own a PlayStation, you got to go pay for. They're writing Game Pass for free, right? It's just a different world, man. It's a different world. It's a sad day now.
You know, it's going to be very interesting. The next couple of weeks are going to be very interesting in sales, specifically for what happens if Sea of Thieves becomes PlayStation's number one selling game. Like,
that's hilarious.
You know what's, I think ultimately, and again, look, you folks know how I feel, where my stance is on the whole exclusives thing. I think you dilute your brand. I don't need to reiterate it. I am somewhat bothered, not by Sea of Thieves, not by Grounded, not by Pentiment. My feelings, I think that there was a chance for Hi-Fi Rush to be something special as an exclusive. Fine. They want to put it everywhere. Great. Hopefully people buy it and enjoy that game. It is a masterclass achievement. But if you wanted to be a slanderous MF and you really kind of want to, you know, give it to the other side, I don't need to do that. But I'm here to tell you that in a year that PlayStation is selling so many consoles, and that's all they can talk about, how many consoles they sold. Oh my God, we sold so many consoles. That's awesome. Sell all the consoles you want. Nobody's buying games. That's the problem. Well, you know what's sad is that there's going to be a conversation to be had, C-Money, where there are going to be more exclusives released on PlayStation from Xbox than PlayStation.
That's already true.
And that to me is just crazy. That to me is like that's a conundrum, folks. I mean, what are we talking about? Because again, let's just say for shits and giggles, for conversation piece, that roles were reversed. And they were at many times during the PlayStation era, where Xbox just was kind of shit in the bed with their first party. They just did. I'm sorry. That's a fact. No, I'm not capping for them. They failed. They failed their city, right? But Sony was delivering. 2018, 2019, 2020. Phenomenal year for PlayStation. Cannot argue it. Banger after banger after banger. And on top of that, they had third-party marketing deals on exclusive content that made the exclusives even better, and the exclusives made those even better. And they were hitting on all cylinders, which is why they are the market leader currently. It's pretty crazy that we're now in 2024 and that the gaming media continues to defend them. No one's asking any questions. I talked about it last night on Primetime Gaming. Do you see what's happening with Sony? Are we literally turning a blind eye to what is happening? They are imploding right in front of us. And if I say it, there are people in the chat like, oh, you know what, Boom, you're just an effing X-Bot. Am I? Okay, you know what? I'm an X-Bot. That's fine. But I'm an X-Bot that at least is telling you the hashtag truth. I'm laying it out for you what's happening, and you're going to go like this. Horse blinders, not on my watch, because you folks gave it to us, and you continue to give it to us. And you know what's crazy? When Xbox drops the ball, who are the first dudes in line to give it to them? The Xbox community. Now, some people take it to an extreme, which we don't do here. There's no reason for extremism. And I find it to be pointless. But when they make a mistake, we get out on front stream and be like, you know what? I don't like this. And at least we have a conversation. Unfortunately, the Sony community, which of course now includes the gaming media, it's horse blinders all day long. But wait a second. We're going to segue into the next topic because this one is hilarious. But let me catch up on Super Chats. And of course, I'm going to continue to welcome everybody in here. Big Mad Mo, that's where we're going. I see you. Let me just catch up on the Super Chats here. Let's see. We have, oh, by the way, real quick, I didn't see anyone asking for it, but I'm going to tell it to you. This is Warhammer Bolt Gun. It is currently in Xbox Game Pass. It is, my God, it is so good. Just watch the gameplay. It's freaking phenomenal in Game Pass. Now, mind you, this originally was launched in Game Pass. They took it out. I bought it, obviously, because why not? And it's back in Game Pass. If you are a Doom fan, if you are a Quake fan, if you are a BJ Blazkowicz fan from way back in the days, you got to play this game. Because it does have classic visuals, but it has modern-day controls, which is awesome. I definitely would advise playing this for sure. If you are a fan of old-school FPS games from way back in like the 90s, this is phenomenal. We have here, oh wow, J-Mac, wow dude, that is crazy generous of you folks. He has gifted 5 Double Barrel Gaming memberships. Dude, that is crazy generous of you. Thank you very much, J-Mac. Jay Slay dropped a very generous $2 super chat and says, Boom, please play Unicorn Overlord, life changing. Yeah, I'm getting FOMO, man. I know I'm at that game, it's not for me. And I'm just gonna,
isn't it like one of those old school looking?
It is by Vanillaware. It is hand drawn. If you know anything about Vanillaware, they usually make side scrolling games, but the artwork is just, it's like crazy. Legendary. This is by them, and it's a tactic based RPG. It's not really my bag, but everyone is talking it up. I'm probably,
it's on Game Pass.
Is it? No, yeah, I don't think. No. Sure? I would have played it. Yeah, they had, the demo came out. The demo was out.
Oh, that's
right. That would have been on Game Pass. That would have been.
Oh yeah,
that's what we would have been talking about. But yeah, I think I'm gonna break down. I'm gonna buy it. I got the FOMO. I really do. Shout out to you, Jay Slay. J-Mac. Wow, man, he drops an additional very generous $5 super chat. And he says this: PlayStation fanboys have trained themselves to play Twitter more than their PlayStation. It has affected their numbers greatly. Xbox World Order. Yeah, it is. You can't continue to shit the bed and disappoint your fan base and expect that you're not going to see some sort of degradation in your numbers. Obviously, a couple of Mondays ago, they announced that their forecast for PlayStation 5s fell significantly short. They took a $10 billion hit in the stock price. Crazy. I keep seeing this hashtag no PlayStation 5 Pro. I don't know if that's a thing, but they're forecasting even lower sales numbers as the year continues. Are they going to really bring out a PlayStation 5 Pro? I mean, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm not buying it. I barely turned mine on.
Oh, no.
I'm just not. I'm just not going to spend $600 because you know what that joint's going to be, $599. And they're probably going to give like Spider-Man 2 away just to kind of fluff the numbers and be like, oh, 20 million. Listen, it's so according to Insomniac, it sold 10 million, but did it? That's the question. Now, the game is really good. I like it. I know people don't dig it. I hear you. I'm not going to fight you on if you don't like it. It's fine. I like it.
But you like Spider-Man.
I like right? Spider-Man. Like Spider-Man.
I'm Spider-Man. So it's kind of like
a Marvel apologist.
You like it on a curve, right? Like if you didn't care about Spider-Man, then you'll be me. And you'll be like,
and that's fine.
I played it in 2018 and it was good in 2018. But like what, 6 years later, 5 years later? Yeah, not so exciting to be playing the same thing. I expected, you know what it is? It's my fault because I gave too much credit to PlayStation. See, I love Naughty Dog. They're one of my favorite developers. Last of Us is one of my favorite series. And I just thought that the PlayStation quality that they tout and they put out there is this their big draw. Oh, second to none. Nobody can touch what PlayStation does. They do it the best. Third person, blah, 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 blah. And so I said, wow, if they could do this with a PlayStation 4, imagine what they're going to do PS5. With the power of the PlayStation 5. And they have done nothing that made me look at that and say, oh my God, it has to be. Now, you know, that's my fault for giving them too much credit, but I give them no such credit anymore. They tricked me. They got my PlayStation $5. I bought it. I bought a few of their games. Sorry, I'm not buying anything unless it looks like it should be on a PlayStation 5. And right now, all I see are what Stellar Blade. That game looks no better than Bayonetta 2 did when it was running on Xbox. Okay, like it or what was no Bayonetta 2 was on Switch. Was it? I don't even remember.
No, Bayonetta 1. Yeah, Bayonetta 1 was on Xbox and PlayStation. Bayonetta 2, I think, was a Switch exclusive.
Yeah, and then I know 3 was a Switch exclusive for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, it looks no better. It looks generic. It doesn't look good. It's only popping because of the girl that's in the game. And you know, these Pornhub lovers, they don't have it in real life. So they go ahead and they get excited when they see this game. I mean, I remember being 12 and thinking that, like, oh my God, look at the boobies. Look at the booty. Wow, this is exciting. But when you got real ones that you can actually play with, you know what I'm saying? The game doesn't make any sense anymore. It's just some dressing that people are obsessed with, but it really doesn't look special, unfortunately. And Rise of the Ronin, I feel like at this point they're motherfuckers going backwards. You know what I'm saying? They're not even hitting.
I see some people comparing it to a PlayStation 3 game. I don't know if it's that bad. I have to see it. I want to see how this is going to be reviewed.
Outside of resolution, that's what the game looks like, man.
Yeah, that's the conversation. Unfortunately, It's not good. These are exclusives, dude. They're exclusives. Yeah.
It's different if Rise of the Ronin was a third-party game. It's going to be it is third-party, but if it was everywhere, multi-platform release, and then you would just be like, all right, well, it is what it is, and that's the way they made it. But to be a PlayStation 5 exclusive, you got all that supposed power of the SSD, the power of everything that they got going on, supposed, and this is what you produce? Not impressed, man.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we'll see what happens. I will say this. If Final Fantasy VII can't move the needle, I don't think Stellar Blade or Rise of the Ronin are either. Like I said, it is going to be a very interesting couple of weeks when we see what happens. Because actually, Hargeet made a really good point. We don't know what the numbers are. Is it 50,000? Is it 100,000? Is it a million people that pre-ordered Sea of Thieves? We don't know. What we do know for an absolute fact is that this week in the United States, two of the three versions came in at number one and number five. In the UK, all three versions of Sea of Thieves were number one, number four, and number 10 on the top 10 PlayStation most wanted and pre-ordered games. VGC ran a story that this is now not only those two regions, but other countries as well. So there obviously is a want. I think what you isn't, I don't necessarily think that they want an Xbox game. I think what you're seeing is PlayStation gamers want a multiplayer game. And Sea of Thieves, again, not for me per se, not a game that I'm going to play. I'm probably going to get down with the Safer Seas and just go solo, because that's how I've always wanted to play it. And I'm definitely going to give it the old college
effort.
It is stunning. It is gorgeous.
Places. Like I did the Pirates of the Caribbean.
That was really good. I played it with Jack Sparrow. That was excellent. Yes.
Yeah. So that was really good. I didn't try the Monkey Island one yet, but you know, they have these story content that you can just kind of do on your own.
Yep.
So I mean, it's a beautiful game. You know, it's not like some cheap, it doesn't look like Rise of the Ronin, I'll tell you that much. It looks way better than that. But yeah, I agree. But even then, when you think about it, is it that they want multiplayer, or do they just want something different than the same crap that they always have? Because I'll tell you right now, Helldivers, as much as you bought it there and some other Xbox people bought it there, PlayStation is not the place that game is killing it. It's not the place. They're treating it just like every other game, man. It's PC that's making Helldivers anything. It would be a flop. If it would be Foam Stars if it released only on PlayStation. It would have
had.
I
got news for you. I think that if that would have released on Xbox, it would have probably been 10-1 in regards to players. I really believe that because if you're seeing 6-1 sales for MLB The Show, which is, you know, a pretty popular game. Again, not for me. I don't play baseball sims anymore. I haven't played that since Bases Loaded. I mean, I'm just not a baseball guy. But listen, the multiplayer is something that is absent from PlayStation. A lot of people want it. It's like I said, it's going to be very interesting to see what the actual numbers will eventually be for Sea of Thieves. And I'm going to tell you this right now. It's going to be pretty shaming for the PlayStation community, the ones that are the most loudest. If turns out that Sea of Thieves is the most popular and most sold game on PlayStation in 2024, that is going to be a conversation.
It's already more popular than Rise of the Ronin. Like, understand the whole point of pre-order is that if they're pre-ordering that game, that's like the hardest of the hard, right? They're like, oh my God,
that's hardcore.
I need it now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I need it now. Casuals are not the ones out here desperate to pre-order stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's the hardest of the hardcore who are out here saying, I need this. So PlayStation players have already decided that they much rather play Sea of Thieves than Rise of the Ronin. So it doesn't matter how much any of these games sell. What matters is the fact that you get to see that what you see on Twitter is not reality.
Yeah.
What this does is make those the leaders of the pony movement that have all these YouTube channels who claim to be so great, the people who show up in your tweets when you're talking about an Xbox game and they show up for no reason to talk about PlayStation, right? To try to disparage you. It shows their insignificance. It shows that they don't matter as a Twitter entity. They don't matter because they're talking shit, but the people who they're repping are telling you otherwise. They say Sea of Thieves look like crap and it's a joke. PlayStation players say, oh my God, Sea of Thieves looks amazing. I'm going to pre-order it over that crappy ass Rise of the Ronin game. These are the facts that they don't want to listen to. These are the facts that in the chat, you'll have some people who say, look at this C-Money talking crap. Oh, he's a fanboy. Nah, fam, it's called reading. You could see when it says right there, Sea of Thieves, number one. Rise of the Ronin, all the way back here, right? These are factual numbers. This is from PlayStation. Go talk to them. If you're there, I told you, I said it. If you follow me at all on my channel, you heard me say it many times. Hiroki Totoki is the biggest Xbox fan because he looks at those numbers from MLB The Show. He's like, God damn, that's beautiful. He looks at everything else that has ever been around, and he knows that he wants that money over here. That's why he came out here and he said it. It's going to be everywhere. PC, mobile, and other platforms. Now, I don't know what other platforms exist to you ponies, but outside of mobile and PC, Switch and Xbox are the other platforms. Just understand that.
And, to some extent, PlayStation games could not necessarily run even a pinch on a Switch. So the other platforms has to mean Xbox. Now, whether that comes to fruition or not, we'll know soon enough. Let me just continue with the Super Chats. And we're going to get into this Colin Moriarty story because, it's disappointing. I mean, obviously, he is the owner and founder of Last Stand Media. He is media personnel. I know that some people in the industry don't consider, you know, people like Colin or like Destin and others a media. They're media folks. That's their shtick. That's what they do. Colin is a media guy. He owns a media company, a very successful media company, OPS, by the way. He makes a lot of money with that company, being who he is. The brand, that Colin is the brand. The brand is Colin. That's a fact. He said something that's it's a bit of a conundrum for me personally. Same energy is not being held even by people like Colin, who's supposed to be the smartest guy in the room when he tunes in, and he's just not. I'm sorry, but we have here Lord Roughness drops a very generous £2 super chat, and he actually makes even more sense after that. Rise of the Ronin is going to get eaten alive by Dragon's Dogma 2. That's right, they release on the same day. Well, good luck with that, Charlie Brown.
They did that so that they can use Dragon Dogma as an excuse. That's the reality, because if that game came out by itself, it still wasn't going to sell anything. Dragon Dogma is a phenomenal looking game. I never played the first one because back then it looked like a Souls type game to me. And before Elden Ring, I was not into any of those types of games. It was just on sale when they had that big sale going on. I think I bought it for like $8 the first one. Dude, that game is phenomenal. I'm so angry. I wasn't going to pre-order Dragon Dogma 2. I was just going to kind of wait and, you know, pick it up later depending on a sale. I'm getting that day one now.
Yeah, me too. That joint is pre-order on Xbox. Yeah,
that is amazing.
Now, again, a fair warning, folks. It's not the most graphical appealing game. It's not really meant that. It's not The Last of Us. It's not Ghost of Tsushima. It's just not. But that's not what you play. That's not why you play Dragon's Dogma. Game is going to be phenomenal, and it's probably going to
It looks a hell of a lot better than Rise of the Ronin, I can tell you.
Well, that is true. It absolutely does. House Flan drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, I'm standing on many of these Sony cancellations being tax write-offs because they make more money on write-off than releasing with marketing. Yeah, actually, you said that yesterday, and I think there is definitely some truth to what you're saying. You dump these studios, you know, you are able to use it for tax write-offs, which is kind of crummy because people are out of work, but that's the business. I don't agree with it, but that is unfortunately the business. We have a new channel member, LAD Lad. Welcome to the channel membership, brother. Thank you for the generosity. Highlander 001, a generous friend of the program. Highlander, I hope that you are doing well, kind sir. He has been a channel member for 21 months, and he says this. Call of Duty Mobile goes live March 21st. Cannot wait to see the numbers of players. Well, it's 50 million plus pre-registered players. Now, I don't normally play Call of Duty. I pre-registered because you get a bunch of free shit when you do, and there's cross-progression. With your console and the mobile.
Yep.
So I'm definitely going to give it the old college effort. I'm not a Warzone guy. I'm just not. But you know, I have to be a part of the conversation for sure.
And mobile is a different beast, right? Because yes. See, when you play it on console, you're dealing with a lot of sweats, right? Who
you will
go there and kick your ass. But if you are good at playing games, right, and you get adjusted to the touch, you know, scheme, you know, you get a lot of new people who jump into that game every day. So you get to have a little more fun when you get to beat up on people who don't know how to play that much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a good time.
It's going to print money for Xbox, for Microsoft. And what that ultimately means is the more money they make there, the more guaranteed we are to have Call of Duty in Game Pass, on launch day. There's going to be no reason not to do it when they're making money hand over fist on Call of Duty Mobile. They would literally be able to afford, say, hey, listen, we can take the L on sales and put it into Game Pass. But I'm here to tell you, folks, it is going to equate huge numbers for Game Pass subscribers, just like Starfield did. Starfield saw the greatest growth in any one time when that released. Expect Call of Duty to triple that. Call of Duty is still a big deal, and it's going to be an even bigger deal when it's an Xbox Game Pass. So he goes on to say, CNBC reported this morning that Microsoft is putting together an offer for TikTok. Oh, shit. And another for some Embracer Group studios. Holy shit.
You saw the news about Embracer Group?
Yeah, what the Saber? Yeah, they $500 million. They sold it. They sold Saber. They sold.
But they got Metro Studio.
Four A games. Yes.
Yeah, Four A games. Yep.
And something. Yeah. And they got something else also. It's.
I was a little shocked. I thought.
It's weird though, because 4A went in the sale, but the IP for Metro didn't, which is a little weird. Like, if they're not making the game, is it worth even keeping? No, Embracer keeps the Metro IP, which is weird. It's definitely weird.
I thought I read that they just have the they have the right to publish it or whatever, some crap like that.
You know what? Maybe I misread it. I'll go back and check it out. But Highlander, brother, thank you so much for the info. I'm definitely going to check that out. That might actually be used for some conversation tomorrow on Breakfast with Boom. Dreadful Sean drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, what if Sea of Thieves hits the top 10 for sales charts in March? I'm going to laugh. What I can't wait to see, and I'm being fair here. When Sea of Thieves launched 6 years ago, wasn't in the greatest of shapes. Did it deserve a 6 at that time? I'm going to say it probably did. Not that it was terrible, but the game was a bit broken, a bit, you know, empty. I would love to see the main sites re-review the game fairly with everything that's available for it. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Expect that joint to be like high 80 meta, 85, 86, 87. Watch. You're going to see. Will not re-review it for Xbox. They're going to review it for PlayStation, and they're going to and here's the conversation. See, yeah, of course they can do it on purpose, because what they're going to say is, you see, better on PlayStation. Even at, you know they are. You know that's exactly going to run. So, what are we talking about? Colin Moriarty on his show. I got to shout out Silent Cypher for clipping it and sending it to everyone that would listen, because again, it's rhetoric. It is hyperbolic in every way possible. It is a double standard at play. He's talking out the side of his neck, as the kids like to say. He basically said on his podcast that, in his professional opinion, less is more. He said that, but there's some more compounded conversation. He doesn't want to see more PlayStation games released each year. He wants to see less, meaning one. And his thought and theory, ladies and gentlemen, was because it was going to be the meteor from the sky that drops upon the world, sets the world on fire, because that's what that's what some of the IPs do when they release, at least they did on the PlayStation 4. Not so much now. But that's what his thinking is. Well, less is more. I don't want more PlayStation releases each year. I just want one. And that's certainly not the same talk from the same person that really drove the nail into the coffin in 2022 when Xbox took a giant shit for everyone to see. That was a terrible year. I make no qualms of it. They have three of the major games all canceled, moved into the next year. Redfall, depending on who you ask, not a good game. I enjoyed it, but still, it was lacking. Let's be fair. Three, Starfield went into 23. Both games were absolutely amazing. 2022 was a giant L, a failure for Xbox.
I mean, they had high-rated games that released.
They did have high
big games. Pentiment got 10s. You know what I'm saying?
But if we're going, like I said, I want to be fair here. If we're going,
we're talking bangers,
right? We're going by logic. We're going by the banger logic. They did their bangers had to be delayed to the following year. One didn't hit, the other two did.
But we didn't have zero.
No, you didn't have zero. You did have some games released that year. PlayStation's
at zero.
They have literally nothing. And somehow that's accepted by the gaming media. Some actually saw some websites, and again, we won't even give them any credit because they're stupid. Saying that it's brilliant. It's a brilliant move not to have games. I'm sorry. What the hell are you talking about? What do you mean it's brilliant not to have games? Are you insane? What are they gonna buy? A console? I guess, and go play the old games. I thought PlayStation players didn't play old games. Isn't that like a thing? Let's talk about this rhetoric. As a matter of fact, they are remastering the rumor.
Everything.
C-Money is they're remastering pretty much everything. God of War trilogy, Nathan Drake trilogy, everything
from the actual times when PlayStation was something.
Yes.
Right when PlayStation mattered was in the 20 was in PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. PlayStation 4, they had first games that were really good, right? God of War, again, even though I still stand on the fact that it was bloated, 2018 God of War was very good.
Yes.
Spider-Man 2018, even that one, I say the same thing. It was a little bloated for me. It was a little too much fetchy in between when I wanted to go to where I wanted to go, but ultimately, very, very good game. And they stopped after that. Everything they did and every new game they brought in was good in PlayStation 4's timeline, right? Like, even Days Gone, even though it got the shit end of the stick because Last of Us was the you know, almighty game for sure, it still was a competent, really well-made game. The dude cursing, constantly going crazy, that was a little much. But outside of that, it was still a good game. Like, I enjoy that game. So at the end of the day, they're taking all of their good stuff from back then and just trying to bring it back because they have nothing else lined up and their creativity is lacking, or their dollars. And honestly, I say it's just the dollars. That's really what's like, because Insomniac didn't get worse. They didn't barely upgrade Spider-Man 2 because that was their hopes and dreams. They did that because they couldn't afford it. And you know why? You know, because when they were trying to push the envelope, they had a multiplayer only, the Great Web, that was gonna be made and gonna come out, and we saw
dope ass images.
There was gonna be motorcycles and the lady swinging with the motorcycle. It was gonna be crazy, but they couldn't afford to follow through with that game. They couldn't afford to sustain the game after the fact. That's what they did to Factions. After seeing the trailer for the Great Web, I now believe that Factions, when they were talking about it, they were saying how great it was. When they had to write that, Naughty Dog, when they had to write the that letter saying that they had to push it back and delay it, it's like they were very upset, and you could say how much they loved it. They said they played it all the time. They still play it. Like, I'm sure it was an amazing game, but Sony, being the broke asses that they are, looked at it and said, we cannot sustain the after effect. And for them, it's better to just stop now and stop spending more money on it when they knew they couldn't sustain it. And that's the nonsense. But Colin, to bring it back to what the actual topic was, Colin saying that, this is the thing. It's funny because it's very stupid to say, but if you are a PlayStation only person, if you think about it, it makes sense. And the reason I say that is because they don't have many studios. So for them, if they were to release two or three games in 1 year, you just moved out the next game 5 years for each of them, and you only have a few more studios left.
Yeah.
So you're in the same boat. You're only going to be able to do one game after that. Or let's say you do another three. Well, then now you're going to have 4 to 5 years before you have anything of meaning again. And they can't survive that.
No.
And this is the problem. This is why people, I get it. You guys are attached to these PlayStations. I get it. Unfortunately, times change. Times change. And unfortunately, PlayStation has not. They don't know what to do. They're having a hard time figuring out how to change, because everything they're doing, they're canceling, they're changing their direction. Studios are upset. They're laying off people. They have no idea what they're doing right now. And they don't have the money to figure it out. So it's scary for them. That's why every move they make is so like, we don't know what they're going to do. That's why they haven't announced anything. Think about it, bro. 2020, they told us God of War Ragnarok was coming in 2021.
Yeah,
we didn't get it for another few years or another 2 years later, right? They don't have a problem telling you that a game's coming. What, 2015, they announced like how many games that were coming? And that's literally all the games we got till the end of the generation. Like, they finally trickled out over time. They will tell you when they know they have something good that they're working on. They haven't said shit.
Yeah.
And I looked at a chart. Mystic, if you guys, he's a PlayStation dude that's actually okay to follow if you don't like toxic bullshit, right? Like, he actually, like, I have a PlayStation, so I actually listen to him every once in a while to get some PlayStation news, to see if there's anything that's ever going to come to this damn box to make it worthwhile. So he's a pretty dope dude. And he put up, I was watching one of his videos, and he put up an infographic of PlayStation games when the announcement to release. So when they announced the game to when it was actually released, and for the most part, every game was over 2 years or a year and a half, between a year and a half and 2 years, the majority of games. They haven't announced anything. We have no idea what's coming from any of these games. They are not going to gamble with telling you about a game in June and releasing it that year. They're not gonna, because they're afraid. So by the time we hear about a game, then they're gonna finally release it a couple years later, a year later. That's what are we talking about? If they come out, the only chance you have of having games next year is if sometime in June they announce games coming the following year. If we get past the summer, they're not releasing anything of first party in of consequence, right? From their studios, their banger studios, right? And we're not talking about these bootlegged studios that they have that never released a game before and that have been slowly been canceled, or the games are being canceled, right? We're talking about their premium studios, the ones that you, the hardcore, bought a PlayStation for, right? If they don't announce it, they got nothing coming. What are you like? What is going to happen, dude? Like, what is the point? And we know, we can tell by the look of it that their level of third-party exclusives, that the quality is degrading. They're getting less and less big exclusive. Rise of the Ronin is not a big exclusive. We had Wolong, whatever the hell that came out to Game Pass, right? Or something like that. Like, these games have come out before. They're similar style of games. This is not like a earth-shattering, oh my god, look at this game, right? And we already know how it actually looks. Same thing with Stellar Blade. Same thing with Helldivers. I mean, again, it's picked up on PC, but we know that the PlayStation community hasn't picked it up like that, right? So let's call a spade a spade. It's not doing great, right? And then what else do they have? Final Fantasy? Sure, people who love Final Fantasy are loving that game, right? But just like I said about you and Spider-Man, right? You love Spider-Man, so to you, Spider-Man 2 was great. If people don't have an affinity for it, they don't necessarily care. And I know you like Final Fantasy. I'm indifferent to it as well, right? I don't really care about Final Fantasy. So for me, if it doesn't look amazing, if it doesn't have something worthwhile, then it doesn't matter to me. And that's exactly where they are. And turns out I'm not in the minority. I'm in the majority, right? I'm part of the group of people who see that and think, nah, I'm good. Because the cells are not there. What are they going to do going forward? So Colin is saying, well, he doesn't want them to come out with more games because they can't afford to do more games than a few at a time or a couple at a time in order to have some type of track of games coming out over the next few years of any real consequence. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they just didn't release anything of consequence until PlayStation 6, whatever that looks like or whatever that turns out to be. Because if they release something now, what are they going to have for PlayStation 6?
I don't know. Real quick, let me just see. Gentleman in the chat says, Strangelove says, do you have any source for Sony being too broke to sustain factions or you're just making it up? No, they actually...
Hey, Roki Totoki, fam.
It's not even so much crazy? Him. Naughty Dog actually came out and said, we're canceling it because we can't... We have to make a multiplayer game or we have to make a single player game. Now, maybe that's not, you know, the gotcha moment that you're looking for. But if they're literally saying we want to go back to making single player stuff because we can't do the multiplayer at the same time, you can say, well, maybe that's manpower. Okay, I'm not going to fight you on that if that's what you believe. But that's not the case. That's
money power.
That's money. They don't know how to fund a gas game, right? They just don't. All of their gas stuff has been canceled. And the last two that are hanging on by like a loose tooth is Concord, which I think is going to flop. And I'm sorry to say, I like Jade Raymond as a studio head. I think her game is going to flop too because it is too similar to another game that people already play. Fair Games is going to come out and it's going to potentially be just like Foam Stars. It's going to come out. People are going to play it for a day. It's going to go to a whimper. It's going to have like a 41 Metacritic and they're going to close the studio. And that's what's ultimately going to happen because Fair Games
looks
like Payday. It looks way too much like Payday.
It looks like Payday and the Finals mixed together.
Yes,
it's not exactly as good a quality as the Finals. And people already like the Finals, right? So why are they going to go to this supposedly exclusive game, right? I mean, we know that it's going to come to PC and probably Xbox, but like, who's going to do it? And again, you know, you have the studios telling you, but again, the biggest guy in the building who talks about money is the chief financial officer of Sony, who is the CEO or interim CEO of PlayStation right now, who literally said, the margins are too small. They're too thin. They cannot afford it. They lost $10 billion in stock evaluation because of it.
Yeah.
They can't afford it, fam. Now, what should happen is they should figure out immediately how to put everything everywhere. And I think that's exactly what's happening over the next year and a half. While they have no games coming, they're going to ramp up PC ports and probably Xbox ports of some of their smaller stuff to get things out there.
Yep.
I'm telling you, this is what they're going to do. They can't afford it any other way. And this is just the facts, man. This is not a guess. This is not I don't have inside sources. I have Hiroki Totoki, the guy who runs the bitch, who's out here telling you.
To just bring this back around, see, I find it incredibly contradictive. That we can have a prominent PlayStation person who owns a media company get out on his podcast. Because again, you can say whatever you want. It's your show, right? It's his Colin's show. Say whatever you want. It's fine. But he gave Xbox the business for the same thing. And now we're hearing, like legitimately hearing, oh no, I'm okay with less is more. That's just straight up being a fraud.
He's capping for PlayStation, right? He's trying to amp them up.
Yes.
But it's okay, right? He's trying to cover it up.
A lot of people are trying to cover up for PlayStation right now. The gaming media is front and center. Their community, obviously, there's nothing wrong with PlayStation, but somehow Xbox is dying. Like I said, we talked about it last night. It's crazy. Let's get your final thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, when we talk about all this stuff, right, at the end of the day, it all depends on who you are as a gamer, that whether it matters or not, right? So, like, obviously, if you only buy a PlayStation, right, and you have no other consoles, right, and this is the only thing you have, then, you know, you're fine. There's plenty of games out there to play. Third-party games come out every day, right? So that's not a biggie, right? But if you are one of the people who made a choice and said, I want to, I'm picking PlayStation because of the caliber of exclusives that they have or had in the past, so that's why I made my decision. And now you hear PlayStation people saying, nah, this is cool. It's okay. We don't need to release games. One a year? More than enough. I don't understand how you could say that with a straight face, especially in a world where Xbox is literally releasing 10 plus first-party games a year. They did 13 last year. That's wild, fam.
Yeah.
That's wild.
No, it's, and we're going to see. You know, I want to shout out Hargeet Chani, who's in the chat. Obviously. He's to me. Yeah. So he actually made a great point, and his point is fair. Now, we say zero first-party games this year, and he does clarify that they do have MLB The Show, which does count. That is first-party. And he also said the DLC for Destiny, which I feel it's going to get delayed again, but we'll see. But he is a fair assessment. Now again,
technicality. Yep, for sure.
That same methodology that he's talking about is not usually used for Xbox, because they'll be like, well, Pentiment doesn't count, even though, you know, like we said, 2022 is a bit of a kind of a bum.
That's why I corrected it. But yeah.
But wait a second, Pentiment. But again, if we're being fair, the same rhetoric was not happening for Xbox, and I gave them the Xbox business again. Pentiment, not for me. And I is it a first party game? Yeah, it is. But that's not the first party game I want, right? Exactly. So they got put out on Front Street by a lot of Xbox dudes. I was one of them. I wasn't giving up on the brand. I was disappointed, and I understood the delays. But they did have some exclusive stuffs in there. High on Life was a really big one. Did really well for them. Phenomenal game from start to finish. But they just did not deliver in 2022. Well, Sony didn't deliver in 2023. Right, they had one. They had Spider-Man and they had MLB. Okay, so they had their two, but this year is even more barren. So I don't know what to say other than stop making excuses for Sony, and I'll tell you the same thing that you folks told me as an Xbox fan: ask for better. That's what you folks told me. You told C. You told all the Xbox fans: stop capping for the the billion-dollar company. You know, ask for better.
Crazy.
Well,
they'll tell you that it makes sense that MLB The Show is not in the PlayStation Plus. They'll tell you that it's okay, that that's fine. They released a game that's first party that Xbox players get to play for free on Game Pass.
And the best version, no less.
The best version.
Yeah.
Come on, man. There's a reason. There's a reason why.
At the end of the day... we had over 700 people here. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Again, this is one of the smaller shows. It's only usually about 70, 75 minutes with outros. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to be doing the brand new episode of Breakfast with Boom. I already have a show written for it. But I'm, you know, again, I want to talk about if the TikTok news is like legit, and so is the Embracer news about them potentially setting something up to buy some Embracer stuff. We're definitely going to talk about that tomorrow morning. Let me just catch up on the last couple of super chats here. Lieutenant Hulk, salute you, sir. He drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, Xbox PlayStation to make Spidey multiplat game. Dude, I still am baffled. That looks, the second trailer looks so good. Holy shit. I would have played that game. I don't know what the game loop would have been. I would imagine it would have been like Spider-Man, you know, what we have, except multiplayer. I'd have been down with that. I'd have spent some money on that game. I can't believe that's not a thing. I don't get it. I just don't get it. And Kaya Walker, who's been a channel member for 33 months. Brother, thank you so much for the generosity and the continued support. Wow. He said he finished Unicorn Overlord and it was very addictive. Damn, dude, you beat it already? Whoa. Good on you, dude. That's a gamer right there, ladies and gentlemen. The game just came out and he already beat it. Holy shit.
How long is it? Is it a long game? Maybe it's not
an RPG, dude. I don't know. Who's been playing it also? We know Pong and Mav have been playing it. I don't know how long the game is. It's a vanillaware game. It's an RPG. It's probably 30 hours at least, I would think. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us on XVlog Live. I want to thank all of the super chats that have come in, the channel memberships that continue to support the channel. C-Money, let's sell your brand because you and the missus, so shout out to Doodles in the chat. I said hello to her earlier. If she's here, if she's here, because I didn't see her just recently. Welcome as always, darling. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you guys tomorrow. We're going to get to where I'm going to be and what time they can tune in to see that. Obviously, C-Money does a show On Point for Gamers. He does an amazing show with the missus, which of course is in the chat, Doodle. Each and every week they have multiple shows. They also do shows with the kids. It is a very unique podcast, and he has several of them. But I'm going to let him sell the brand. Tell everyone where they can subscribe to help you, you know, climb the ladder of YouTube to get those subscribers up. And more importantly, follow you on social media.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Well, obviously, boom. First of all, thanks again, man. I appreciate you. I love being on the show. It's a great time. Always have a good time, man. So thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Oh, by the way, Kyle Walker said it took him 63 hours to beat the
63
game.
Hours. Damn.
That's long.
That's dedication. That's dedication. I got to take a look. Maybe it'll come to Game Pass.
You're going to fold just like me. Just admit it. You're going to fold just like me. I know it.
Oh my god. Well, obviously, right here on the screen you see C-Money Forever. You could definitely come follow me on Twitter or X there. Just, you know, hit a nice little milestone for me. We got past 900 subscribers, pretty cool. So on our way to 1K, man, so that's dope. Also follow my wife Doodle, Doodle 2, the number 2, the letter B, the word free, Doodle to be free. On Twitter as well. She's climbing up there as well. And yeah, we have a channel. It's called On Point for Gamers. We do 4 shows a week. This upcoming week is going to be a little funky because we're going to PAX. We did get approved as media on our first attempt, which was
That's pretty awesome, dope. Dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, pretty dope. So we're going to be doing, you know, a lot of content from there. So it's going to be, we're going to, you know, we have probably one less live show. But this week, we just had yesterday our huge community blowout podcast. It's our gaming podcast, but we had 8 community members up there with us. It was a dope show, fun, funny, and you know, this is the thing about the community. You know, you guys are the cream of the crop, man. Like, you guys are hardcore. You know the industry, you know what's going on, and you have valuable things to say, man. And that's why we love doing the show. Every second Wednesday of the month, we do the community blowout. So that was dope. If you didn't see it, check it out on our channel. I did put the link in the chat so you can go check it out. So that was dope. Tomorrow, Friday, we have the night shift Let's Talk Gaming at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and we have the homie Mr. Boomstick XL who's gonna be coming to the show. It's gonna be a good time, so very excited for that. We also have Hargeet Shani who's gonna be there, and we also have an up-and-comer that is really, really cool. We just had him on our show last week actually, and then he was our Heard Him in a Guest week this past week, which is Demo Flow Gaming. Really cool dude.
Awesome.
Yeah, very cool dude. Xbox dude through and through, right? So he's one of the hardcores. And yeah, man, it's going to be a good time. So definitely come check us out tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time for that. Sunday, we will be back with Morning Quest with Doodle and C-Money. That's a show I do with my wife on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. Eastern time. It's a very chat heavy show. We hang out with the chat a lot, you know, kind of bounce back and forth on the topics that are going on. So it's definitely a fun show to catch. And then we have Her, Him, and a Guest on Tuesday, and that's at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And if I can just get my list here, we have Fuzzy Belvedere, who is nice. Gonna be our guest on Her, Him, and a Guest this upcoming Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's gonna be a good time. So definitely come check us out there. And yeah, boom, we're in the same boat, man. We're on our road to 13K. Nice. You know, we cracked 12.4, which was awesome. But like we've been getting a bunch of subscribers, and then like randomly out of nowhere, for no reason, like losing a bunch of subscribers. And
it's crazy.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's something weird. Something's going on. But definitely come check us out if you haven't. We appreciate everybody who comes through. And yeah, we appreciate it. Boom. Thank you, brother. We appreciate you, man.
Thank you so much, and looking forward to tomorrow evening. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you so much for tuning in. Super appreciate it. If you are finding the channel for the first time, consider subscribing. Obviously, just check your account. Make sure you are subscribed, because I think that YouTube was unsubscribing people. I saw that on Reddit. I don't know if it happened to me. To be honest with you, I didn't even know how to check. But just check to make sure that you weren't unsubbed from the channel, because YouTube does just crazy shit like that sometimes.
Random shit.
It's just weird. But of course, a big thank you once again to all of the Super Chats, all of the channel members. And of course, I'm going to close out the show with something that's incredibly important to me, folks. Hopefully one day it'll be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught us when we were kids. And he would say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, son. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. And we'll see you next week on the newest episode of X Vlog Live.